Get into the message this morning. I want to just draw your attention to it and remember Miss Jan is here in the back, and just remember her husband passed away last week, and so it's a very difficult thing. Lift up our sister, just lift her up before the Lord, ask God's comfort, His peace on her. Miss Jan, our hearts go out to you at this time too, and we know it's not easy, but we also have a confidence that her husband is with the Lord at this time as well, and she does too, and she has that joy in her heart, even in the midst of this grief. So lift up Miss Jan, if you would. Today, though, I want to bring a message to you, but let's start off with a word of prayer and ask God's direction and guidance. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it pierces our very hearts. So I pray today that you would do that. Challenge us in your word. Move us. Give us what we need. Sometimes, Lord, we need your peace and comfort and assurance. Other times we need conviction, and Lord, we just need to be brought back. So Lord, whatever it is that we need, I pray that you would provide through your word today. May we respond to you appropriately and rightly. We pray this in Jesus' name. We say amen. Did we say amen or amen? That is the question, isn't it? Amen, amen. Hey, today we're going to be looking at the story of Jonah, principles from Jonah. This is a Bible book that every believer knows. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know the story of Jonah, and even many non-believers know of Jonah. So, raise your hand if you know the story of Jonah pretty decently. Raise your hand. You know the story of Jonah. Anybody willing to admit they just don't know the story of Jonah that much? Not very well. Okay, appreciate the honesty. Good. We're going to fly through it. Only has four chapters. Okay, so the message this morning is just 2 hours long. You'll be fine. Now, we're going to give you the quick overview. But most people have heard of story. Jonah, the prophet, called of God to go to the city of Nineveh. And he was to there warn the people that God was going to bring judgment upon them. What did Jonah do? He went the other way. Towards which city? Tarshish. Yes, you got to say it like that, okay? Tarshish. And it was the opposite direction. God got his attention, though, on the way. How did he get his attention? Oh, come on. I thought all those hands raised up. I know the story. How, Sarah? A storm. They got everybody's attention. And then the sailors threw him overboard because Jonah said, it's my fault. I'm the one that God is angry with. It's my fault. So they threw him overboard. And what happened? Okay, a large fish swallowed Jonah. For how many days? 3 days. Spat him up on dry land. Jonah said, okay, God. Well, he had 3 days to think about his actions. So he said, okay, God, I'm going to go to Nineveh. He went. He reluctantly preached God's message. And how did the people respond? They repented. They says, man, we've really messed up. God, we're sorry. We don't want to continue this way. And they showed it through their actions. God saw it. He pulled back his judgment plans. And Jonah got angry about it and didn't like the Ninevites. So that's basically the story in a nutshell. But we're going to take a closer look. But when I talk about the story of Jonah, I can't help but be amused at some people in the world, outside the church perhaps, that mock such a story. There's a group of thinkers called New Atheists. We've always had atheists in our world. That's a philosophy. Theist meaning God, ah meaning without. So atheist means without God. But there's a group of new atheists, which are not just atheistic in their philosophy of life, but they're also very against theists. We're what you would call theists. So they are against them, they attack them, and they try to put them down, and they're very missional in their thinking. Very missional. They're on a mission to convert people to their way of thinking. But they mock the idea of the story of Jonah. What on earth is that about? The large fish swallowing up a guy, spitting him out on dry land. That's absurd to them. But yet, the same people will have no trouble accepting the notion that at some stage, millions and millions of years ago, some fish somewhere started to sprout legs in the water and eventually began slowly walking out onto land and eventually grew legs and arms and a tail and eventually became a person. That's science, isn't it? But the idea of a fish swallowing up a person is just absurd to them. By the way, I was reading on the site LifeScience.com, if you want to go, well, I wouldn't encourage you to, but if you wanted to go check it out, LifeScience.com, and you will find that there was an article there that teaches ancestors to whales. They're basically of the same family and line of our cows today. And at some stage, there were some other ancestors to our current cows that eventually ended up more and more in the water, and they are the ones that became whales. So we have some coming up out of the water, others going into the water, and these creatures began to lose their legs and arms, and they will say that's why in whales there's some bones that are leftovers from when they used to have legs. And so again, this is science. But the idea of God's story here in the Bible of a large fish being able to swallow a guy, that's just absurd fairy tales. I want to suggest it's not a fairy tale. This is something that took place. And it's not a story of a whale either. It's a story of a large fish. Okay? Just FYI. It's a large fish. The Bible says God especially prepared. Some principles from Jonah. This is what I want to look at today. And the first principle is simply this. God has always chosen to use mankind. God has always chosen to use mankind. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." God had a message for Nineveh, and he called upon Jonah, a man, to share that message with the Ninevites. God could have just written across the sky or on the wall of the city of Nineveh, "Repent or be judged." God could have done that. But he always chooses to send others to speak his message for him. This is God's way. God in his providence has chosen mankind to be the vehicle by which he gives his message to mankind. That's why he left us the Great Commission to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things. This is our commission. And God has given that to mankind to do. So God could have told the Ninevites in his own special way, but he chooses to use mankind. And the truth is, we have the same message to give today. God has entrusted us, you. He's entrusted you with his word, with the same message. Luke 13, verse 3. And also repeated in verse 5 says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This is the same message that we have today. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. Let's examine those two words briefly, repent and perish. The word repent, the word is metaneo. Can you say metaneo? Metaneo. Very good. Now you know Greek. It literally means to think differently or to reconsider. It means to think differently or reconsider. I have heard some preach and some say that repentance means you change your direction or you stop sinning. This is what repentance means. You're going this way, you're in sin and you're enjoying it, and then you hear the message of the gospel, and then, well, you need to repent. That means you got to stop sinning. You got to, you know, go the other way. And I want to suggest to you that if you're not careful, that can be a works-based salvation. That's not the intent of repentance. So what is it? Is it stopping sinning, or is it a change of mind? A change of actions or a change of thinking? I suggest to you that there is a connection that we must understand, but it is important to see the difference. There's a connection between the change of thinking and the change of actions, and it is important to understand the difference. Let's say to you, let me show you a picture. You see this guy? Oh. Okay. What do you think he's yelling? There's a hint there. Yes. Fire. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said, sir. You're quiet. Fire. That's what he's yelling. Okay, so if I am here this morning and I say, guys, this building's on fire, the whole place is going up, and if you don't do something about it, you're all going to die in here. Okay, and you all sit there and look at me, and that tells me that you don't believe. You don't believe what I'm saying. However, if I continue and I tell you that there's a fire, you got to move, and you start to look around and you see some smoke coming through the doors perhaps, or, you know, it's a little concerning, you start smelling things, you might begin to think differently or reconsider your initial reaction. Okay? This is the repentance part. However, what happens if you see that, you say, well, yes, I'm agreeing now with Pastor Ken. I see what he is saying, and I fully agree. But you stay in your seats, and you don't move. Is that a problem? Of course it's a problem. You see, if you were genuinely reconsidering, genuinely have a change of thinking, it's going to affect what you do about it. It's going to affect your actions. And so you genuinely say, I've been convinced. If we stay here, we're going to be in big trouble. And then you get up and you do something about it. It's time to move. So this is what repentance means. It is a change of thinking. We're now agreeing with God. God says all have sinned. And I say, yes, God, that includes me. I need a Savior. I repent of my thinking, my ways, my sin, and I'm trusting in you now. And it results in a change in your life. But let's look at the word perish. Unless you repent, you will all perish. The word perish literally means to be destroyed or to die violently. It's a strong word. And God's message is the same today as it was to Jonah's audience. You need to repent or you're going to perish. And we have been tasked with this message. This is our rescue mission, to rescue the perishing with this message of God's. 1 Timothy 4:16 tells us to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save both yourselves and those who hear you. Continue in this doctrine, the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the apostles, the gospel message, because that is what saves us, and that is what will save those who hears us. This word save is a very strong word as well. It's a powerful word. It's not the same thing as reforming your life. Reforming your life. That is, I'm going to turn a new leaf. It's time for me to change how I do things, change my outlook. I'm going to live a better life from now on. This is not the same thing. It's not just helping people. It's an important word. It implies that unless someone intervenes with your life, you are hopelessly lost. You need to be saved. It's not just helped, but saved. A person who's drowning and they're just going under for the last time, they don't need just a little help. They need to be saved. This is that word. Unless you repent, you will perish. Continue in the doctrine, in the gospel, and in so doing, you are saved, and you save others as well. So God has always used mankind in His redemption process, in sharing the gospel, and bringing others to Him. Just as He used Jonah, He uses us today. And the message is the same. God has seen our sin and will judge sin unless we repent. And this is the same message that we have been tasked with as Jonah had. Principle number two is this. Disobedience has a high cost. Back to Jonah. God said, Jonah, go. What did Jonah do? He went, but he went the wrong way. Look at verse 3 of Jonah 1. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Take a look at this map. Okay, he started off in Joppa. Nineveh was 550 miles northeast. Instead, he got on a boat and he started heading out west to Tarshish, which is the southern part of what we know as Spain today. That's the opposite direction. In fact, you know, nearly five times farther the other direction. In fact, he was so far out at this place was the farthest point that the known people and sailors of that era, that the world, as far as they knew, anything farther than that was coming to the end of the world. There was nothing else out there, just water, and they didn't want to go too far out that way lest they get to the end of the world. He went the opposite direction. But what was the cost of his disobedience? We know the story. We reviewed it briefly. A great storm came on the ship on their way to Tarshish, and everyone on board, these sailors and the travelers, were scared for their lives. Jonah, in his heart, knew what was happening. And he finally came up and he talked to all the sailors about it, says, guys, it's my fault. This is God's doing. He says, but I tell you, if you throw me overboard, all this will stop. They didn't want to. They didn't just quickly grab him and threw him. He had to talk them into it. And they reluctantly threw him overboard. And the storm stopped. The storm ceased. But we see in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Wow. And the whole next chapter, by the way, chapter 2, is about this time of Jonah being in the fish and what he's thinking. You have some time to think when you're just stuck in the belly of a fish in the ocean, in the water. You have some time to think and reconsider some things, don't you? And that's what he was doing. He spent time in prayer, and he came to his senses and says, you know, God, all right, you get me out of this, and I will obey you. You got my attention now. God has to get our attention sometimes, doesn't he? Have you ever been in the fish? Maybe not the literal fish, but there may be other ways that God has gotten your attention. Jonah had great personal cost. I want to show you another picture. Look at this picture. I like this one. You know what that is? That's a fish. That there is a sunfish. A sunfish. Me and my boy Harry were diving up at Poor Knights Island, and we had a video camera. We took this picture, and we have a video of him actually swimming by us, and sunfish are big. Adult sunfish can weigh between 250 to 1,000 kilos. And this guy, I didn't get a scale and measure him, but I would estimate maybe around 500. He's a big fish. His head was taller than my body. This was the size of this fish. And it was really cool. It was kind of scary to see him so close. But it made me think of Jonah. Now, this guy wasn't big enough to swallow me, praise the Lord. But it made me think of Jonah and what he must have gone through. So let me ask you, have you ever been in the fish? Maybe not in the literal sense that Jonah had, but a time of struggle as you struggle with the Lord to obey and follow him or not. I don't want to. That is not something that I want to do. And you struggle with this. And maybe your fish comes in the form of relationship difficulties, health struggles, financial struggles. I believe God can use all these things and other things to get our attention as well. And he wants you to come to a place in your life where you say, God, I will obey you. I will follow you. I will do what you want me to do. I'm not saying every time that you're sick, well, you're running from the Lord and God's getting your attention because you're sick. I'm not saying that. Yeah, Josh is in the back a little sick this morning and he must be running from the Lord. That's not the intention. But if you know in your heart that you're not obeying God, you're not listening to God, and you continue in that, he may bring about circumstances to get a hold of your attention. Because the most important thing to him isn't to give you the most comfortable life, but who you are, your character, and conforming you into the image of his son. That is the most important thing on God's agenda for you. And so he may bring about circumstances to get your attention as well. Hebrews 12 puts it this way, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. This is our Father God. And our Father is not as politically correct as, you know, our culture today is. The Bible says, as your Father, he chastens you. He disciplines you. And it says he scourges you. Scourge literally means to flog. That means he gets the stick and he smacks your backside in his way. And it hurts. It hurts. And so Jonah paid a cost for his disobedience. But there's another cost that was paid. Who was not getting the message that God intended? Who? The people in Nineveh. The Ninevites. They were paying the cost as well for Jonah's disobedience. They were not receiving that message. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. This is God's way. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. And that message is the gospel. It's not saying the message is foolish. But what it is saying here is that it is what the world views as foolish. It doesn't make sense to them. But this is God's message, God's way, God's plan, not ours. And he tells us that this message must be preached. And God uses people to do that. Obedient believers sharing the message of Christ is what God has chosen to accomplish salvation. Jonah's disobedience had a personal cost, and he paid for it, but it also was passed on to the recipients of the message. They weren't getting the message God had for them. Couldn't God just send somebody else? Yes, he could. He could have. But he said to Jonah, I want you to do this. And he wanted and expected Jonah to be obedient to him. And God is calling you as well to reach people around you. There are your Ninevites, people that God has placed in your life, and he says to you, you share me with them. Share the message of Christ with these people. And if you're saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. God has chosen you for that. And your disobedience is going to cost you, but it's going to cost the people that God intends that message to get to as well. Don't assume, well, God will just use somebody else. God has you there, and God wants to use you. The question is, will you be obedient? Are you obedient to the Great Commission of rescuing others? Who is your Nineveh? And which way are you running? Which way are you running? Finally, the third principle. God rescues people through his word. This is simple. God rescues people through his word. So, Jonah got regurgitated. He got spat back up and decided to head in the right direction. Let me ask you, did he do it with the right heart, the best of motivation? If you know the story, did he do it with the best motivation? I would suggest no. From reading the rest of the story, Jonah doesn't go with a changed attitude and a good heart, a heart of love and compassion, and warns the people and rejoices in their response. No. In fact, what we see after he warned them of coming judgment, God told him in 40 days, 40 days. We see in chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. These were all signs of contrition and repentance. These were all signs that they accepted what God had said, and they were sorry for it, and they wanted to follow God. Wow, Nineveh basically experienced the revival. The Bible tells us there were 120,000 people in Nineveh at this time. It was a large city for this time period. 120,000 people. And the Bible says that they all, from the greatest, the top leaders, to the least of them, the nobodies of the city, they believed God and they repented. So Jonah should be excited, right? He should be excited. By the way, God spared them. God spared Nineveh. Look at verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, again, we must read with an understanding. Was it their works that saved them? It says God saw their works. Was it therefore the works that saved them? I would say no. Look at verse 5 again. It says the people of Nineveh believed God. So they had that metaneo, that change of mind. They thought differently now. They heard the message of God. They put their faith in it. They believed in it. They repented. And then in verse 10, it says, God saw their works. Because remember, true repentance results in a change of activity. Like when I say this building is on fire, and you say, okay, I now believe you. Well, then it's going to result in an activity, and that is getting up and exiting out the door in an orderly manner. Correct? But the Bible says the people believed God, and then it says God saw their works, and he relented of the punishment that was due. They repented, and then God saw the evidence of true repentance. As James says in James 2:18, show me your faith without your works. Show me that kind of faith, he's challenging people. And I will show you my faith by my works. You show me that kind of faith, and I'll show you what genuine faith is like. Genuine faith that is evidenced by what I'm doing, not just by words that I'm saying. So the people of Nineveh were real and genuine. Again, shouldn't Jonah have said, oh, this is awesome. I gave the message of God. They listened. They repented. What more could a prophet want, right? Look at Jonah 4, verse 3. This is Jonah's attitude. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. How dramatic is Jonah, huh? Lord, just take my life. I'd rather be dead than to live now. The people listened to what I said. They repented. He hated them. So yes, he obeyed God. Finally, after the fish incident, he obeyed God. And he went and gave the message, and the people believed, but now he's upset about it. And then he goes to wait it out. Listen to this in verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the seat. Does it say seat? Yeah, it's supposed to be east. The east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. So even though they repented and he knew it, he still went to sit under a shade and watch to see if God is really going to get him or not. And in his heart, you know what he was hoping for. Bring the judgment, God. Go ahead. Don't listen. They're faking it. They're not real. Just judge them. Just wipe them out. He's hoping God will, in the end, really stick it to them. Look at this picture I found. Here's Jonah. He's sitting outside in the hot sun. Now, this is in the Bible in chapter 4. He's sitting in the hot sun, hoping for God to shower the city with fire and brimstone like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that would be so awesome as far as he's concerned. And the Bible says that God caused a plant to grow quickly. And this plant provided shade for him. And he was thankful for this plant. He thought, this is nice. This helps me take some of the heat off of my head while I'm waiting for the fire to come. He loved the plant. And then God, in God-like humor, he caused a worm to come in the night and munch the plant so much that it caused it to die overnight. And Jonah became angry. And so the next day he continues to sit there angry, with his plant gone now, no shade over him. You can just imagine, you know, you can see the steam rising off of his head. Part of it's from the sun, part of it's from anger. He's hot and angry. And then in verse 9, we see, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? God knew Jonah's thoughts. And he was so mad about the plant that God killed the plant. So God says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. Does he sound like a five-year-old? He sounds like a kid. He really does. He's angry with God. And he's basically saying, I don't care if you know it, God. Forget the fish thing. Just kill me this time if you're going to judge me. And God took some time to correct his thinking, saying, Jonah, you're wrong. How could you care about stupid plant when there were 120,000 Ninevites here who have been spared and who have repented and now trust me? And then sadly, the story ends there. I wish it had a different ending, don't you? If I was writing it, I would write it with Jonah saying, oh God, you're so right, I've been so foolish. Forgive me. I'm thankful that they repented, that they're trusting you now. And then he goes back into Nineveh to be with the people and to teach them about God more and to really train and disciple them so that there's a strong group of believers in Nineveh. That would be a good story, wouldn't it? That'd be the one that I'd like to see. But that's not the one that God gave to us. That's not what happened. So the point here, though, I think the principle is that God uses people. God uses people. And if God can use Jonah to get his word to people, he can use anybody. Because it's not really about you, but it's about God, and it's about his word to us. It's about God's word. It wasn't Jonah that saved the Ninevites. God used Jonah, but God gave his word through him. It was God's word. Romans 10 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you understand? I don't imagine Jonah, when he gave God's message either, I don't imagine Jonah put a lot of love and care into his message. Do you? Do you think it came out that Jonah really cared for them? I don't get that. Not given his reactions when they actually listened. He was mad. So he came and preached judgment to them. And he preached it in a way that says, God's going to judge you, and you know what? You deserve it. You know, you're going to burn in hell, and I'm glad. That's the message. He gave it to them straight. But the funny thing is, God still used it to accomplish his purpose. That blows my mind. You know, there's preachers out there, and there's other churches that I just do not agree with. And I may even think their motives are wrong. I see that. But if even somebody like them would just give God's simple message, or just give the gospel message, even if they have wrong motives, or have some problems with their theology as well, if they would give God's message, people can still get saved, because people are saved through God's word, not through the people themselves. And that's the incredible thing. So how about you? Can God use you? Can God even use you with your characteristics, your personality, or even if you have a bad attitude? I'm not saying you should have a bad attitude, but Jonah did, and God even used Jonah. So I would suggest something far better. Obey God and serve him with a good attitude. God has always chosen people to use, and he's chosen you. Know the cost of disobedience to yourself, to others, and remember that God rescues people through his word. Let's be about his work. We have work to do. Rescue the perishing. There's people perishing around us. And we have the same message, the same warning as God gave to Jonah. And it may not be just 40 days, though, but judgment is coming. Judgment is imminent. We need to be faithful. Be faithful. Would you stand with me, please? With your head bowed and eyes closed for a moment, I just want to challenge you with a couple things. First is this. You know, we're fixing to take our pledge cards. We're fixing to give them. But I want you to also be mindful of people that God has placed in your life that may not hear the message unless you are obedient and faithful to God. They may not hear it. Is there somebody that God is bringing to your mind right now that you know needs the Lord? They need the life that He can give them. They need His forgiveness. They need Him. They need this message. There might be somebody that comes to your mind even right now, and I want to encourage you to bring them before the Lord at this time and say, Lord, You know them, and in Your purposes, You've placed them in my life to be a light, to be Jonah, to share Your message with them. Help me to be a faithful messenger. Help me to be faithful. And also at this time, I want you to be praying, Lord, I want to have a part in missions this year. And this amount that I'm going to place in the basket is an amount that I believe that You put on my heart to give to missions. I'm going to ask you at this time, just go ahead and sit where you are silently now. Just go ahead and sit down. And in a prayerful manner, place or just tick the box or put on the amount, however big or small it may be. Say, Lord, by faith, this is what I want to give to missions this year. Be a part of our church's missions program 2018 to 2019. If anyone needs a pen, just raise your hand and an usher will come by to help. And just as God directs you, just quietly get up where you are and come and place it in the basket at the base of the cross here. Lord, You know our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that we would have willing hearts and obedient hearts. And Father, I pray that You would lead and direct each person in this place and what You would have of them, that they would give, that they would commit cheerfully between them and You for the cause of missions, that they would be faithful to also reach out to those that You've placed directly in their lives as well. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. As God directs, go ahead and come and place yours in the basket, if you would. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve restoration, eternal life. But you provided it, and we thank you for that. May we be faithful missionaries, messengers of what you have given to us and sharing it with others who need to hear as well. I pray that you would be with these commitments, these pledges, that you would provide for each person who has made them. Look after them, Lord, and may you use this to accomplish your work, that others would come into your kingdom, be forgiven, be built up in the faith, and Lord, would have an eternal home with you as well. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mike, would you come for a few announcements, and we'll be dismissed.
So if you have your bulletins, let's just check on the inside pages a few notices that we have that we'd like to share with you of upcoming dates. Father's Day coming up on the second Sunday in September. And so on this day, we're going to have a special themed Lay Up Your Treasures in Heaven for Father's Day. And then we have the combined youth night. This is the teen night worship time on Friday, the 7th of September. That's going to be at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Josh and Denise. Parents, if you're able to help out with arranging transportation, let Josh know about that as well. We have the church anniversary coming up, the 30th of September. It'll be 34 years with International Baptist Church. A lot of changes through the church over the years, but 34 years since that first small group of people met together. On that day, we're going to have one worship service during the 11 o'clock service time. And at the end of that worship service, we'll have a shared or combined lunch together. For those of you who completed the St. John's First Aid course, your certificates are in the office, and you can collect those today at the end of the service time. And the Women's Prison Ministry, many of you gave for the Women's Prison Ministry, the articles of clothing. Thank you for that. It was really appreciated. The prison chaplains and all that was there. We're very impressed with that. Thank you. Our missionaries that we're praying for, GFA, which is Gospel for Asia, continue to pray for them. This is part of the missions board that we have supported for quite a number of years. And then also specifically praying for Casey and Christina Wong. We're going to have them here with us next week during the Sunday school hours. So be sure to be here to see Chris and Casey. Well, that's all the announcements that we have other than before we're dismissed, we'll recognize if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. Anyone this week that's celebrating a birthday? Anyone with a birthday this week? No one? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with a wedding anniversary? It's Amanda's birthday this past week, right? Yeah, this coming week. Come on up, Amanda. Come on up. Anyone else, anniversary or birthday? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Amanda, and then Pastor Ken will come and dismiss in a time of prayer. Let's all sing together. Happy Birthday.
All right, we're going to be dismissed. Come back in at about 10 during our 10 o'clock session. Today, Jennifer and I are going to take some time to share with you our testimonies and our calling into ministry and preparation, like we've done for the past couple of weeks with others. And so I don't know when the last time was that we really shared with you in this way. So come back in at 10 o'clock, and as Pastor Mike said, next week, Casey and Christina are going to be here with us, and I asked them, it's on Father's Day, but I asked them to come and share at 10 o'clock, update on their ministry overseas in Asia as well. So don't miss that. That'll be next Sunday. Let's be dismissed. Grab a drink. Have some fellowship. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning in Jonah. May we be faithful. And be obedient to you as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.